Chapter 2. There is a way to heaven, harmony. For the sake of an illustration, let us suppose a grand palace, great and wonderful, filled with all the desirable things of earth and heaven, filled with music, laughter, beauty, wealth, joy, health, and happiness. To this great building there is but one door or one way of entrance. Here stands a sentinel who knows the word that grants admittance. A seeker comes with questions. What is there in a mere word? And if some particular word, then why not the most recent and up-to-date expression, something to stand for progress and unfoldment? There is but one rock upon which to build, explains the sentinel. There is but one door, one way, one light. There is but one beginning and one ending. There is but one name written in the holy city. There is but one name to be placed in our foreheads. Oh, implored another, tell us the name. Is it spirit? For spirit is all there is. Is it right thought, or right reason, or affirmation? No, comes back the answer. The one magical name is Jesus Christ. God hath given him a name that is far above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-10. Far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians 1:21. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. What? Believe in Jesus Christ? Why, this is not the 20th century idea of salvation. I must use my own reason. I cannot blindly believe in anyone or in anything. I must see where I am going. I must use my mind and understand my way. My own right thoughts are sufficient that I gain heaven. Halt. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. Well, states another, if right thoughts are not sufficient, then I'll go with my works. I've healed the sick. Thousands of cases. I've caused cancer, goiter, rheumatism, diseases of all names to disappear by thinking them away, by reasoning them out of existence. I'll lay my works at the door. For by their fruits ye shall know them, and I even raised the dead. Halt. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:9. What? Cries another. Right thoughts and even good works insufficient? Then I'll go in my own majesty. I will go as God myself. God is all there is, and I am something. Thus, I am God. Bold and full of self-assurance, he seeks admittance. The sentinel appears. All around him glows a light of transcendent glory. And there before him, stretched out like a huge watercolor, the seeker beholds what appears to him to be a picture of himself. He sees himself stripped of all coverings, and he is made aware of his nakedness, his arrogance, and his ignorance. Speechless, he sinks down undone. The sentinel, beholding his nakedness and shame, and contrasting it with that of the presence with body of transparent glory, whose face shines as the sun and whose raiment is white as the light, asks, "How could you claim to be God when your face lacks holy light? When your body shows forth disease? When your speech betrayeth you? Away, you are a thief and a robber, if you try to enter the holy city, the promised land, by some door other than Jesus Christ. Behold your reason in ignorance. You cannot buy heaven with your right thoughts. You cannot earn heaven by your good works. You cannot think yourself into heaven by any lofty statements or any high thoughts of your own. Heaven is given to those who have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ." Galatians 3:27. "The sick that you healed, did you heal them in his name? Did you tell them of the deity of Jesus Christ and thus his right to be the Savior of the world? Did you preach and teach the finished kingdom at hand? Did you tell them that without Christ, the truth, ye can do nothing?" Look well into your heart for the answers to these questions, and you will find that you did not give enough attention to Christ and the Christ healing, but that other methods and means were used, and many have been led astray in trying to create for themselves that which already is created, finished, and at hand, waiting their recognition, their love, their faith, and their acceptance. Unless through recognition and repentance of your mistakes you now turn from yourself and your self-sufficiency and accept Jesus Christ, the Self, the great omnipotent in every breast, unless you come with his name written in your forehead, you cannot enter the New Jerusalem nor join the throng of the redeemed, but will hear the words, "Away, I know you not." Friends, blessed are we if we hear the words, "Come, ye faithful," and blessed are we. If in the past we did not hear them, we determine from this day forth to turn our gaze inward and upward to Christ, our sufficient guide, that these words may yet be whispered to us. It is a grave question to us and to those who are looking to us for help and guidance, whether we are following Christ or following man, whether we are building on the rock or building on the sand. "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10:32-33. We see clearly how careful we should be that we speak to others only the Christ truth. He who is ignorant of heart, yet honest and upright, filled with pure love for God and man, he who sees the error of his own ways and turns from his error, hastening also to turn others to the high way, let him listen to these words. "If you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul." Ezekiel 3:19. The Holy Spirit, divine inspiration, ever guiding and protecting the loyal heart, will forever turn and overturn until that heart rests secure and serene on the rock, Christ. The personal I must be dethroned, that place be given reality, Jesus Christ, the perfect self. All who are building upon self to the point of importance, assurance, arrogance, and self-righteousness are building a mountain which sooner or later will crumble in all terror upon their heads. This is a work difficult for the mind to do, for the mind of the self is at enmity with the mind of Jesus Christ. Nay, mind of and in itself cannot attain to this surrender, for mind ever seeks the place of importance and the seat of instructor and king. Love for God, devotion to truth, love for our fellow man is the one thing needful that the death of self be accomplished. In each life there is one vulnerable spot, one tender place, one vital point, one dearest thing in life, and if necessary, for our recognition and appropriation of the true God, the hour will strike for us when this tenderest spot is invaded, and the two-edged sword is applied. Yet if we but heed the lesson that is waiting our recognition, if we must listen for thy voice, if we but cry, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," if we but lay down that something that is separating our clear vision of the one God, the cloud lifts, the sword is withdrawn, the darkness passes, and the white Christ is enthroned in that heart as never before. The sword of the Spirit would slay nothing but that which is not of God. There are no periods in our lives of such paramount importance to us as the trying as of fire experiences, wherein the dross of self is consumed and all the beautiful and lovely characteristics of spirit shine forth. The cleansing may indeed not be pleasant, may be filled with fear and suffering, yet as springtime with its sun's wooing rays melts the snow and calls forth the waiting flowers of his presence, so the white flame of God burns away from us all that is interfering with our highest vision, calling, wooing with a gentle grace and touch the divine spark within. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and a new spirit will I put in you, says the voice of the presence. There must be nothing in our vision, thought, or action that would keep us from high watch. It is certain that without accompanying holiness, we cannot lift our vision higher and still higher. To attempt to strike the rock or command the blessings of the heavenly kingdom while our hearts and minds are engaged in anything that obscures our high vision is to bring upon us disappointment and sorrow. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 3:11. Fire is the symbol of the protecting presence. It was thus seen and felt by Moses in the burning bush and by Elijah on Mount Carmel. There is a place or period in our journey heavenward wherein the earnest and loving heart either listens to the voice and listening obeys and enters the secret place of the Most High, waiting for the Red Sea to open, or else because of insufficient love for holiness, he passes on to seeming disappointment and failure. There was a time for Moses to strike the rock, and there was also a time that Moses was not to strike the rock. To strike the rock is an act of the law, and while Moses was the lawgiver, he was told to strike the rock. and the abundance of good came forth. However, in a later experience, Moses was told that the rock was not to be struck, mental means were not to be used, but the word of spirit was to be utilized. Moses was told that he must simply speak to the rock, and the water would spring forth. But Moses disobeyed the voice. He could not rest his mind in quiet and peace of the spirit. And vehemently he struck the rock, and we all know that his disobedience excluded him from the promised land. There is a time to declare the truth vehemently, and there is a time in which we are simply to rest in the promise. Speak the word that of and in itself is power omnipotent. Shall we be afraid of the flaming sword? Shall we fear the consuming fire? The Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. Exodus 13:21. And a writer of recent day wrote, as the children of Israel were guided triumphantly through the Red Sea, the dark ebbing and flowing tides of human fear, as they were led through the wilderness, the great desert of human hopes, anticipating the promised joy, so shall the spiritual idea guide all right desires in their passage from sense to soul, up to the glory prepared for those who love God. What does the pillar of cloud and fire represent, if not the love and care of the One Presence? Why should not God, as a loving presence and a protecting power, be as real to us today as this presence was real to Moses, and to Daniel, and to Job, and to Isaiah? And why cannot the miracles of Pentecost be as present today as then, since the I Am is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Clouds appear before the transfiguration. As it was thus with Jesus, so it is with us. When clouds appear upon our sky, and fire of God begins to consume us, let us hasten to absorb the lesson they would teach us. And if obedient, the clouds break blessings upon our heads and become like chariots, carrying us up and away into greater heights. The baptism of fire purifies, cleanses, and transforms. It never leaves us where it finds us, but penetrating our whole being and cutting asunder, even to the most secret place, it leaves us quickened and glorified. Does not the love of self, love of money, love of pleasure, love of importance hinder the soul's upward vision? Hinder progress? Hinder our appropriation of the finished kingdom? Are not anxiety, fear, and doubt sin? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. There is an hour for each one wherein the Lord with his great sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Isaiah 27:1. Our God is a consuming fire, yet it is possible that though the flaming sword rest upon us, we be unharmed. In our journey from sense to soul, we need to learn well the lesson of obedience. When we first hear the faintest whispering of the voice, do we listen and obey? Or are we so filled with our own thoughts that the gentle whispering is crowded out of hearing? The lesson of obedience is one of the hardest for us to learn, and yet one of the most necessary. The sooner we learn it, and love it, and heed it, the more rapid will be our progress, the more wonderful our experience, and the more helpful our living. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or purifieth. This is the way Walk ye in it directs the voice to the trusting heart. It is ours to inherit all the fullness of omnipotence, all the strength and glory of life eternal, and to be filled with the giver is greater far than to be filled with the gifts, for all the gifts without the giver are bare, while the giver and the gifts are one and inseparable. All the castles of gold or precious stones would not be a suitable temple for the sun, but just simple and transparent glass admits the warm and radiant glow in all its glory. We are the temple of God, and in us dwells the living Christ. We do not have to be great or noted or brilliant in order that Christ abide in us, nor do we need that our names go down in history for any works that we may have accomplished. It is in giving out to others that the well of salvation and the oil of gladness spring up afresh and unceasingly within us. To cease to give out is to burn up the oil, leaving us empty. If we are to be burning and shining lights, it is necessary that our supply be not exhausted, but that it be constantly replenished from within and above. What shall we say to the mountains that loom around us, mountains of difficulties, doubts, fears? Does faith fear the mountain? Does soul, armored with memory of battles fought and won, doubt the issue of another encounter? Nay. If fear or doubt be present, it means that vision must be set higher, that consciousness be cleared afresh, that mind be purified anew. What did Jesus counsel us to say to the mountain? Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Faith pleads not that the mountain be brought low. Understanding declares not that the mountain be set aside. Trust attempts not to climb the mountain, nor would love walk around it. Faith, love, and understanding command, appropriate the power, authority, and dominion of the Christ within, and the individual, rising to a higher consciousness, finds the mountain gone. As water is for outward cleansing, so fire of God is for inward purification. This fire penetrates where water could never reach, nor be of any value. Water harms not the outer, nor does fire harm the inner. The more heat applied to gold, the greater the improvement. The consuming fire of God never harms, but blesses us. Refining fire, go through my heart. Illuminate my soul. Scatter thy life in every part, and purify the whole. When there is nothing in us to burn, nothing to be consumed, then the fire of God will touch us not, for all that is unlike God has been taken away. I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee, said Job. What was it that changed Job from sickness to health, from woe to gladness and praise, from death to life? As the fire of spirit consumed him, as the flaming light struck his consciousness, he beheld what? His own greatness and might and power and importance? No. He beheld his barrenness, his nakedness, his sinfulness. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, he confessed. This was the mystical death, the death of self. He saw that in and of himself he was not sufficient, and a new birth took place. A new Job came forth, clad with health, joy, delight, and abundance. High vision, or vision to the Most High, brings the high good into manifestation. The Bible was not written for the cold, intellectual mind, but for the spiritual eyes, for the hungry heart. No man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of God that is in him, for spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. We must have love, faith, devotion, confidence in order to appreciate the deep things of the Spirit. If we want to be endowed with power from on high, then we must look on high for it. God tests but never tempts us. We must step out into the dark unafraid. We must see the unseen things as though they were seen. We must launch out into the deep and let down our nets for the fish, spiritual food prepared for us. Let us be courageous and speak the word to the valley of dead bones and see them rise up a living army. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Except we die to self, we cannot live to Christ. Look at Peter, who through his fall, his death to self, rose to a height in consciousness unknown to him before. When Peter died to Peter, then he found the omnipotent Christ within himself and became so filled with this Spirit that he healed multitudes with a single sermon. "Lovest thou me?" asked the Christ of Peter. "Lovest thou me?" asked the Christ of you and me. With infinite tenderness did Jesus three times ask Peter this paramount question. Had not Peter three times denied him, and must he not fully recompense for his sin? Does not every cloud that arises and appears to separate us from Christ, truth, come because of our lack of love for Christ, our lack of devotion, our lack of high vision? "Lovest thou me more than these?" persists the inner voice. "More than wealth, more than fame, more than selfishness, more than any other affection, more than the loaves and the fishes?" Many desire Christ for what Christ brings them, instead of desiring Christ because Christ is God. Jesus could forgive Peter his momentary weakness and failure, could forgive his cowardice, if only he might be sure of his love. And Peter, with broken spirit and with intense devotion, cried, "Thou knowest that I love thee dearly, more than all else." Is it not through our love and devotion to the highest that we attain to the highest? And is it not through our selfishness, our love of self, that we retard our progress? Are we finding the sheep and the lambs, and are we bringing them to the presence, that there may be one fold and one shepherd? The true shepherd exacts not large sums from his sheep in order that they graze in his pasture. High vision causes the highest to be the nearest, for the high is the perfect, that is ever within our reach, ever at hand, already prepared, and in reality already in manifestation. To claim this perfection of God and man, to lay hold of it with our faith and recognition, with our thinking and acting, is the activity of Christ in you, and is the modus operandi of spiritual healing. "He shall cry unto me, and I will make him higher than the kings of the earth," promises the High Presence. "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising," Isaiah 60:3. Let us reach up and up until our vision, like the dove, rests in peace upon the triune God, root, finisher, comforter, and resting the vision here, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him, for it is a spiritual law, that which our vision beholds, our minds think, and our bodies express. Do you now accept, reader, that Jesus is not only divine, but that he is deity? Do you accept that Jesus is not only a way-shower, but that he is the way? Do you accept that Jesus is the Christ, and that Jesus Christ is God? Listen to these confirming words of Jesus. I am from above, ye are from beneath. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that seeth me seeth the Father. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. I am Alpha and Omega. The Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. And the Word was God, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and our hands have handled, and which was manifested unto us, declared the great John. The second man, Jesus Christ, is the Lord from heaven. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, wrote the great Paul. What think ye of Jesus Christ? What shall I do with Jesus that is called the Christ? Shall I crucify him or glorify him? Shall I recognize him or reject him? Shall I deny him or deify him? Shall I follow him or discredit him? Let us speak boldly where we stand. Do we believe the Bible regarding the miraculous birth of Jesus, his mission, his free gift of love, his victory, his indwelling? Do we believe with Isaiah that his name shall be called the Mighty God? Said Jesus himself, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Said Peter, in the latter days there shall be false teachers among you, denying the Lord that bought them. What think ye of Christ? Who announces that we have had another on earth as great or greater than Jesus the Christ? Let him answer these questions. Has anyone ever been on earth who spoke and demonstrated as did Jesus Christ? Has anyone in the flesh overcome death and proved immortality? Let us suppose that there is or has been such a one. Call his name John Doe, and hear him say to the world, he that hath me, John Doe, hath life, and he that hath not me, hath not life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, John Doe. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have led captivity captive. I hold the keys to death and hell. Ye are complete in me, John Doe. At the name of John Doe, every knee shall bow. We need not continue, for all must admit that no one ever lived on earth who could proclaim and prove these things. Whosoever declares that any individual is as great or as greater than Jesus Christ denies God and denies Jesus Christ, and according to the Bible truth, is a thief and a robber. All hail! Behold your King! These words are said in praise and in recognition, in honor and in glory of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of verses might be quoted to prove that according to Scripture, Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus Christ is God the Son, and only by having Christ in you can heaven harmony be attained. This book is like a seed which the author drops into your consciousness, and whether it takes root and bears fruit, or whether it withers and dies, is for the reader and the listener alone to decide. The following is a quote by the initials MBE. Whatever inspires with wisdom, truth, or love, be it song, sermon, or science, blesses the human family with crumbs of comfort from Christ's table, feeding the hungry and giving living waters to the thirsty. There is no power apart from God. Omnipotence has all power, and to acknowledge any other power is to dishonor God. All that really exists is the divine mind and its idea, and in this mind the entire action of being is found harmonious and eternal. Evil has no reality. It is neither person, place, or thing, but is simply a belief, an illusion of material sense. If sin, sickness, and death were understood as nothingness, they would disappear. If spirit or the power of divine love bear witness to the truth, this is the ultimatum, the scientific way, and the healing is instantaneous. Keep in mind the verity of being, that man is the image and likeness of God, in whom all being is painless and permanent. Christ presents the indestructible man whom spirit creates, constitutes, and governs. This is the conclusion of Chapter 2 of The Christ Within by Lillian De Waters. This writing has been read by Laura Cassell in the year 2005.